We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we begin a two-part conversation with Rishi Bhaskaran, a principal consultant at The Table Group. During our time together, we talked about life during the pandemic, and Rishi shared some powerful truths about being vulnerable, offering yourself grace, and taking the first step. Let's listen in.
Hey guys, this is Pastor James Lee here, and I just wanted to just come in and just share a few moments with you before we get to our special guest. But we as a staff here just want to say we love you guys. We're proud of all the engagement that you have on social media, but we just want to be here for you. We want to interact with you. We want to engage with you. As you know, that we've called a lot of you guys, and we want to pray for you and just check up on you and just take care of your family and things like that. And so one of the things that we're going to do is continue on with these special interviews that we're doing with our friends. I know that we've had some privileges of being able to listen to great songs and hearing some great interviews, and today is no different than that. I want to introduce one of my good friends. His name is Rishi Bhaskaran. Rishi, just tell us your background and tell us what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor James. I work with executive teams and CEOs. Primarily, I support them as a coach and also as a consultant. Prior to doing that full time, I spent 15 years in the technology world and worked with a lot of companies. And I realized that for most cases, these organizations weren't struggling with their technology or what they did or what they knew. They were struggling with how they connected and communicated and assembled together as a team. And so that's where we shifted gears after some prayerful consideration. And so, yeah, this is what we do, or at least this is what we did before the pandemic, is I was traveling almost on a weekly basis to meet with a different leader of a different organization somewhere in the nation or maybe even outside of the U.S. to have conversations that'll help them be more cohesive and more connected.
Well, like I said, I do appreciate your friendship with me. I know that it's been said in leadership circles that you don't want to be the smartest person in your circle. And if you surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, then you will continue to develop. And so, Rishi, you make me smarter. You inspire me. You motivate me. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and give Rishi the floor, and I'm going to start taking notes. And you're going to see us interact and ask questions as well. But let me do this. Let me go ahead and just pray for us, and we're going to go ahead and get started here. So, Father God, I just thank you so much for just everything that's going on right now. Lord, I know that sometimes we can't see past what's on the side of our nose, the end of our nose, God. But Lord, I know that in the midst of all this, God, that you have everything under control, that you are the center of it all, God, and you can use whatever is meant for bad and evil, God, for good. And so, Lord, I thank you so much that behind the scenes and things that we can't see naturally, God, that you are protecting us, that you are for us, and that you're covering us, God. So, Lord, I pray that during this time that we have an opportunity to just learn from one of the best, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you again. The first thing I want to talk about is just kind of to set the stage for what we're going through. And this isn't everything, but this is definitely a strong part. A lot of people talk about having hard times in life. I mean, hard times, that's just life. But one of the biggest differences between just having a quote unquote hard time versus living in trauma is this sense called isolation. Trauma occurs when I'm overwhelmed with the crisis that I'm living in. And in that crisis, I feel alone. That's isolation. And the fact of the matter is, you can be in a room together with people and still not feel connected, still feel isolated. I've been into many meetings where I'm like, I don't even think they care what I think or what my thoughts are for this meeting or for this idea that they're discussing. And so if now we're being physically isolated, how much more the opportunity for trauma? And so I started coming up with this. I Googled it, and I didn't really see too many other people use this expression, but I actually think what we're living in today is virtual isolation. See, we're doing things virtually. I'm connecting more with Zoom than any other time I've ever connected. My family and I see each other a lot on Zoom. We're eating together on Zoom. We're doing all kinds of weird things on Zoom, which I think is great. But you know, the bottom of it, I still feel isolated. Because I think the virtual connection, and to some degree, I think having that virtual connection has given me permission to actually even be more isolated in my thoughts or in what I convey with people. I want to share three points with you. And if anything, these are kind of my it's okay points. Let me jump to point number one. okay? It's okay. Point number one, during a pandemic, it's okay to be vulnerable. Vulnerability, it's one of those things where, especially for men, it's been perceived as weakness. In fact, I once heard this expressed this way. Back in the day when soldiers would go to war, they would have their servants and other people put their armor on them. And one of the primary roles of the servant or whoever it is that's supporting the soldier is to help the soldier understand the points in between the armor where that soldier is potentially vulnerable. So you'd be like, you know, I've stretched the front plate as close to the back plate as I can, and I've tied it up here, but right here, I couldn't cover it, so you're vulnerable. And so the servant shares that, you know, the two or three points, hopefully it's under 3 points that that soldier is vulnerable at, and he goes into battle with his shield, you know, right in front of those points of vulnerability so people can't hit it. And so that's where, for me, that expression of vulnerability opened it up. It's areas that I know that I am, quote unquote, exposed, or areas where I know that somebody could hurt me in. And I guarantee you, I know it for a fact, that there's more men than me that are feeling a little vulnerable right now, a little exposed right now. And I just want to say, you know, I want to overcome that stigma and say, I think it's okay.
Yeah, Rishi, I know, and I know some people that are going through this right now, especially people that were self-employed. And so as maybe the benefits aren't there that they thought would be there, that would be for someone that's just been furloughed, or somebody that's maybe only getting 80% of what they were planning or what they were planning to get in income right now.
Yeah.
And people have plans. Maybe it's to buy a house. Maybe they just had a kid, things like that going on.
Yeah.
But I know for a lot of them, it's hard to talk about. Like, it's easy just to go, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I think guys need to be comfortable and just talk about what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love that, Tim. So I was going to say, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay if plans change. You know, it's okay if things don't go as you had originally scheduled or prepared or expected it to go. It's okay to tell people you're hurting. Oh, here's the big Christian thing. It's okay to tell people you're scared. I know we're not supposed to have a spirit of fear, but you know what? I think we need to tell people one of the best ways that I can overcome fear is if I can tap on the shoulder of another man and just say, hey man, I'm dealing with this. I'm struggling with this. I don't know how I'm going to make my ends meet at the end of this month. I don't know if I have enough to get us through this month. I don't want to tell my wife that the things that she's buying at the grocery store, I may not have the money to pay for it. You know, it's when I can say something like that. I think vulnerability is tremendously liberating. When I can say something like that, then I can expect one of my good friends to say, hey, you know what? Can I pray with you? Can I stand with you in faith? And yes, God does not want me to have a spirit of fear. But vulnerability, I think, it helps me to overcome some of those things.
I know for me, in my past, and I know a lot of my friends too, like, that are guys, we know that it's good and we have to be vulnerable.
Mm.
We don't know how to be. What would you say to somebody that's like, I know I have to talk to somebody, but like, I really just don't know where to start. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's great, Jeremy. That's a wonderful question. And you know what? I'd love to hear James and Tim. I'd love to hear your perspective on this too. This actually connects with my point number three, which I'll go to before, which is taking that first step. It's okay to just get started when it comes to vulnerability. So vulnerability is two parts, okay? It's you extending some sense of trust and vulnerability to somebody, and then somebody else receiving your vulnerability. So the first part is you must be willing to extend it even if you know that the other person may not receive it. It's okay. It's okay to say something that may sound stupid. It's okay to maybe embarrass yourself. It's okay to not know. So one of the beauties of vulnerability, actually, I've done this before, is when I don't even know what I want to say and I've just talked to somebody like Tim and say, Tim, I don't think I even know what I want to tell you right now. I'm trying to figure out how to tell you that I'm really struggling. And so I think, in my opinion, to start this conversation, is, number one, not have a huge expectation that this other person is going to come and, you know, embrace you and it's going to be okay. We're going to have a sappy ending. Number two, it doesn't mean that I have to like slit my wrists and bleed out. And I'm such a bad person. No, that's just inappropriate. That's not what we're talking about. It's okay to just have a simple, honest, transparent conversation with someone like Tim and say, hey, I have something to share. I want to maybe give an opportunity to either James or Tim. Would you add to that?
I think for the most part, we have crutch cliches and phrases that we say. And one of the crutches that we have is the phrase, if I'm being totally honest. And I remember when Pastor Robert would say, well, if you're being honest now, there are times that you haven't been honest with me. And I think in the most part that there are a lot of people who, men in general, who will say, if I'm being honest. And for the most part, they can have a genuine conversation between friends or maybe even their wife or something like that. And they'll say that phrase. Well, that's almost like Pastor Robert just saying, well, you were probably not honest, or maybe even could take a step further, being vulnerable with me at the very start of this conversation or in previous conversations. And the reason why I say that is the story about Elijah in 1 Kings, when basically there is a drought and there's a famine going on and things like that. And he's going basically to the widow, and the widow is gathering sticks and trying to make her last meal for her and her son before they pass away and run out of food. Well, Elijah, you know, he has the confidence of the Lord because he is sent by the Lord to this region. And I love this story because it really pertains to this because of being vulnerable. So listen to this. So Elijah goes to the widow and says, can you make me a drink and also bring me some bread? Okay. Now she knows that Elijah is sent by the Lord and she trusts the Lord too. Listen to this. 1 Kings 17 verse 12. It says this, as surely as the Lord your God lives. Okay. That's her first phrase. As surely as the Lord your God lives. She replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. So this is what I perceived in that conversation right there. I know that you were sent by the Lord. I know that I have faith in the Lord, but I'm still scared. I'm still scared that I don't have enough and I can't make enough for me and my son. So think about that for a second. The vulnerability to say, Lord, I trust you, but I'm scared. I have fear right now. Marcus Burkeen says this the best. He goes, sometimes it's easier to trust the Lord with eternity than it is tomorrow. And I was like, that's phenomenal. Yeah. Because I have that fear sometimes that, yeah, I can trust you, Lord, with where I'm going in eternity.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have the anxiety and I'm not honest with myself on what it means for tomorrow.
I love that. I love that. It's great. I want to add to that, but I want to check in with you, Tim. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah. One of the things I think a lot of guys can struggle with is just setting an expectation on the other person. So when we're getting ready to be vulnerable or share, a lot of times in the past, we had an expectation on how somebody was going to react and they didn't react the way we wanted to. Maybe they were negative. Or maybe they didn't say what we wanted them to say, and now we're afraid to share again. And I think you just have to remove the expectation from the other person. What you're sharing and what you're going through, don't put it on the other person that you need something from them, but just be comfortable going to share that. And don't let a past experience become an expectation that holds you back from being able to have that conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I love it. So I want to add two more it's okays from what Pastor James said, what Tim said. So I love it. It's okay in vulnerability to take a risk. All right. So here's the difference between transparency and vulnerability. Yeah, I'll be transparent with you. All right. So it's April of 2020 and I still haven't filed my 2018 taxes. So you would look at me and be like, sucks to be you, I guess. I mean, wow. Okay. Now you don't know what I've given you a piece of information you don't know what to do with, but I'm being transparent. I'm just being transparent. All right. Vulnerability. Hey, so it's April of 20 and I haven't done my 18 taxes yet because the IRS found out that I have some world income in some countries outside of the US. And so they've asked me to now go back and declare that income for all these other places. And man, if I do this, I'd have to go back for the last 7 years and I'd have to present all these insignificant amounts though, because the money I have there is so minuscule. I don't even think it matters. So you know, I feel like I just want to tell them I don't have any money and just submit it that way, saying this is all I have. But then I know that's an integrity issue. And so I don't know what to do. And so what's happened is I've taken something that's transparent and I've associated risk. That's vulnerability. Because all of a sudden now, when I'm vulnerable, you could judge my character. You can make all kinds of judgments on my personality and the kind of person I am or the person I'm not, the person who you thought I was supposed to be. When I'm just transparent and not vulnerable, nobody's saying anything. We're just like, okay. So going back to Jeremy's question, I want to encourage you as men out there, take a chance, take a step. And just as the scripture in Isaiah where he says, as surely as the Lord lives, hey, vulnerability is courageous more than anything else. Take a bold stand and take a risk and just say, guys, I think I'm struggling in this area, because all of us have some level of trauma. We may not be experiencing it the same way. We may not be having the same approach, but trust me, it exists. If anybody has been locked in a house for 6.5 weeks, we're coming to almost the 7th week of COVID, you're going through something. And I think an answer to help us get away from it is just opening up to men around us and say, I need help. And it's okay if you don't even have the right scriptures for it. Ask somebody, can you help me here? So at least I know how to pray properly. And if we spent most of this time just talking about vulnerability, I think that'd be important, because if we can't overcome the stigma of vulnerability as men, I think it's going to be really hard for us to really be effective leaders, for us to be effective husbands, for us to be effective fathers, et cetera, for us to be effective men in society. We've got to learn to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is liberating. It's okay to be vulnerable. Let me get to the other two, and I do think the other two are going to be faster. Number two, it's okay to offer yourself grace, no condemnation. You know, when this pandemic thing first started, I don't know if you saw it, but somebody sent me this meme. It irritated the snot out of me. This is what the meme said. It says, if you don't come out of this quarantine with, number one, a new skill, or number two, a new side hustle, or number three, more knowledge, then you never really lack time. You lack discipline. I was like, wow. Because, and then I sat on that for a while, and then it's the week two, and now it's week three, and I have friends of mine on social media that have learned a new language. You know, they're sitting up on those online learn a language thing, and they've got, one of them's launching a new business venture, and all these guys have read new books, and dude, I've done none of that. And it's so easy to look at yourself as unworthy or whatever. And the truth is, we're all going through a little bit of a pandemic. We're all going through a little bit of trauma. And I think that if we come out of this quarantine without a new skill, without a new side hustle, if we haven't learned a new language, if we haven't read through the entire Bible, you know, if we haven't, you know, run a marathon or done something weird, like if we haven't done any of that, I want to tell you that you're just fine. You're doing just fine. We're all going through a collective traumatic experience, maybe not the same all the way through, but there's something going on, and not everyone, listen to me, men, not everyone has the privilege of turning a pandemic into something fun and productive, okay? So it's okay to offer yourself grace.
That's phenomenal, Rishi. That's so, it's almost liberating to hear someone that consults businesses and advises organizations like you do to come and say that to us right now. But you're saying that's all over social media, that it's okay if you don't come out of this, you know, learning 10 other languages or learning. I mean, yeah. We men as husbands, as fathers, as college students, as you know, business leaders or whatnot, we already feel the pressure. We have pressure on us to perform, to fulfill, to provide, things like that. And what you just did was basically just say, no, that God is your provision. God's going to, you know, God's going to show you. God's going to
give you this.
And so that's phenomenal that you just really just set us free from that. Because to be completely frank is, I have felt the pressure of what it means to be a husband, a father, and a leader of a department, basically. all at the same time, because I can go into work from 9 to 5 and then shut it off, hopefully shut it off when I get home. Like, I've created some disciplines where when I get home, I don't do certain things while my kids are awake, because I only have a certain amount of hours. Now, with the pandemic, everything is together in this one format of a living room that my kids are wanting my attention. My wife needs some attention on some things. And I have a team that I'm leading as well. So it's all put together. I'm like, I don't know if I have any time. I think we all feel this at some level.
We totally do.
I know you have a question because you have a different perspective. So ask away.
I kind of wanted to backtrack a little bit and also kind of combine this new thought you brought up. And because I think it's something that we need to learn to give ourselves grace in. On the other perspective of vulnerability, how can we be intentional about cultivating an atmosphere where people are able to be vulnerable?
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great question. So I do have a perspective, and I'd love to hear it if anybody else does. But I think as leaders, we've got to go first in creating an environment or a culture of vulnerability. And the way we do that is literally by being vulnerable first. So I'm the leader of my home, which means I'm responsible for creating vulnerability at home and creating an environment where my wife and my kids can be vulnerable and say, hey, we're struggling as well. I'm the leader at my office with my team. So that means I'm responsible for cultivating the atmosphere or the environment of vulnerability so people can feel the freedom to be vulnerable. So I do that by going first. And for all you leaders out there, that's the reason why you get paid those medium-sized bucks, is because you get to take the risk. You get to be courageous first. So I pull my kids aside and I say, we just did this recently. And I said, you know, daddy's having a hard day. And here's the reason why. And don't fluff it up. Okay. Like, I was being real and I told them exactly what I was going through. I had some difficult news from a client that I'd worked with that's going to have to scale back big time again because of this pandemic. And it just means that it's going to affect me financially for the rest of the year. And so maybe I had to change some language so that she'd be able to digest it a little bit, but I didn't make it so fluffy that I was real with her and I told her it's hard for me. And I said, so that's what I have to share. What are you going through? And my daughter said, you know what? It's hard for me to do school online. I really enjoyed it for the first little bit, but did you know that my teacher sent mama 2 emails this week? I said, I did not know that. She said, yeah, one was for math. And then she said, you know what, daddy? I said, what? The other one was for poetry. I go, what? She goes, she said that I wasn't creative enough in poetry. How could you be creative? And now she's going off talking about this thing, and actually she's being vulnerable. And she wouldn't have said any of that had I not gone first. Same thing with the office. You know, when I'm in front of my leaders, you go first. And if you can if you can share something, trust me, we all have things to talk about, to be vulnerable. So I did a meeting at the beginning of this week. And so it was, you know, we just wrapped up the weekend. We were starting off the week. And I just went around the room and I said, hey, we always jump into business, but before we get professional, let's get personal. And I said, I just want to tell you about something that I learned over the weekend. And I had some, again, not so exciting news that I learned over the weekend, and I'm still kind of processing it. So I shared that with the team. And I said, not that you need to do anything about it, I just felt like I just needed to let you know. And they were all very thankful. And then somebody else, I didn't start an exercise. I just shared. And somebody else said, hey, Rishi, would it be okay if I shared? And I said, yeah. And they shared something, and everyone's like, wow, we had no idea. And before you know it, we had spent about 40 minutes just talking to one another about our personal lives. And then we spent the last 20 minutes doing business. And I don't want to say that was irresponsible. I actually think we went through the business faster because we spent 40 minutes talking about personal stuff. And so vulnerability requires tremendous intentionality. And if we say it's okay to extend grace, then it's okay to be intentional about vulnerability. I know, Tim, you had something you wanted to comment on that.
Not so much on that, but I wanted to kind of go back to what we were talking about before, what you and James were talking about working from home and just kind of trying, there's a lot that we're trying to do with it's not reinventing the wheel, but we've got to figure out what this balance looks like, right? And some things that are totally new, like it was funny when we started this call, my dog decided all of a sudden she wants to play ball, so she's going to sit here and bark at me. So like, I never had to deal with that in my office, but I have to figure that out. Like, of course, right now she wants to. But one of the other things with that is there's some things that worked really well while I was in the office, some structure that I have brought home with me because it helps me focus and get done what I need to get done. And one of those things is, it's as simple as there's a whiteboard right above my desk in my office, and I write things on it all the time. Just the first thing, if I'm thinking of something or someone asks me to do something, before I ever schedule it, it goes up on there. And then from there, I take that information and schedule it, do things with it. But at first I didn't have that here, right? And so I'm trying to use my phone, and doesn't work well because I'm not used to going back in and looking at my phone. So I had to reconstruct something here that works like that so that it's always right next to my computer. And as soon as I have that thought, I can write it down. Yeah. So while I'm going through a lot of different things, there are those normalities that I'm trying to bring home with me so that it still feels like I have that structure. So I'm sure you see that too.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that, because that's actually a good transition to the next point. Forgive me, Tim, for putting you on the spot there, because for some reason I thought it was about the last comment. I made that mistake. But we're going to transition from your comment there, Tim. Before I do, quick refresh. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to take that risk. It's okay to be courageous. It's okay to go first. Number two, it's okay to offer yourself grace. If you're not doing everything right now, that's okay. If you don't have the perfect haircut because you can't find anybody to cut your hair, it's okay. All right. I spoke with a leader just before this meeting that we're doing right now. This is somebody who runs a fairly significant organization. And I'm just checking in with this individual. And he said, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm a little stuck. I know I'm not at my best. And they pause and he says, I think I'm okay with that. And I just found that so reassuring. And so like he has the self-confidence to say, yeah, I know I'm not at my best. I know I haven't really done everything I should have done. I got this huge honey-do list. Who else has honey-do lists that they have completed? I've done the first thing on the honey-do list and nothing else. I got my garage clean. That's it. But all I'll say is it's okay. Now coming back to Tim's thing, point three, and we'll wrap up. It's okay to take that first or next step, even if it's very small. So take that next step, even if it's a small step. For Tim, it was to recreate the whiteboard at home. Whatever it is that we need to do, do it, even if it's small. I always say, you know, start with asking God for wisdom. The book of James says that if we were to ask God, God wants to give us wisdom liberally, and he does not withhold it from us. I mean, he takes great pleasure in giving us wisdom. So we can just ask God. I mean, if that's the first step, I don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know which scripture to go to. I'm feeling really overwhelmed. That's okay. Why don't you just stop and just say, hey, God, what should I read? God, what do you think I should do today? God, what should be my first step as I start my day today? God, would you speak to me? And God has promised that if we were to ask him, he would speak with us. You know, I don't necessarily recommend, I don't want to discourage somebody, but when the pandemic started, people are like, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And even I was tempted to sign up for read the Bible in 30 days. I mean, the whole thing, cover to cover. And that didn't go so well in day three. I mean, yeah, it didn't work out. And all I'm saying is that's okay, but take that next step. Maybe start with reading one or two scripture verses and then maybe go to reading a chapter. Just do something. You know, I had a neighbor, I had a conversation with my neighbor, and he said he was totally planning to run the Boston Marathon, which is this week. And so that didn't happen. And so he said, I just want to train and just be better so that when the next marathon starts, I'll be ready to go. And then he hasn't run at all. And so in our talking, it's like, you know what? I think it's because you're thinking that you need to run, what is it, 27 miles or whatever that is? And he's thinking, how many times? I got to run around the block 26 times to get to my marathon. And I'm like, bro, why don't you just walk around the block once? Like just do the next thing. Challenge yourself on how you would evaluate success. And don't make it complicated. Don't like draw out this big roadmap or big business plan, whatever. Just say, hey, as a business leader, as a husband, as a father, hey, how would I measure success? So success during COVID or success during this season, success in April looks like, or May, forgive me, looks like this. It looks like I want to get this done. I want to get this done. I want to get this done, this done. Not a to-do list. I'm not saying I want to get my garage clean. No, I'm saying high level, like I'd like to get some order. I'd like to have some discipline around Bible reading. I'd love to, you know, connect with my friends more intentionally. So again, not a task list, but high level, give yourself something, create something in how you would evaluate success. Start slow and start simple rather. And then just give yourself a red, yellow, green. Don't get into these quantitative details. Don't make it complicated. Give yourself some grace, take the next step and give yourself a red, yellow, green. And I do an audit every week and I do this with my wife together. And I say, hey, so as it pertains to exercise, I think I'm about a yellow right now. So red, I'm not really doing it. It's at risk. Green, I'm on track. It's not like I'm finished, but I'm there. Yellow, somewhere in between. So I'm at a yellow there as it pertains to reaching out to some of my friends, because I know I get isolated really easy. So I'm going to give myself a green there. As it pertains to getting some stuff done at the house, yeah, I did the garage and nothing else. I'm going to put myself a red there. And I just looked at it, not out of condemnation, but I think it's important for us to take a little ownership during this time as well. But taking one step at a time and just evaluating this. And part of my vulnerability, I said I cultivated vulnerability with my kids. I also did it with my wife. And I told her, I said, baby, I'm looking at this. And although I only have two reds, two yellows, and one green, I'm like really disappointed with myself. Like I don't like it. And she just said, baby, I don't care. I mean, yes, I'd love to see this closet cleaned up and I'd love to see that and all those boxes that you brought about 4.5 years ago that you said you're only going to leave here for the next 2 weeks. I would love for those to be finally moved, but it's okay. And I don't know that she would have said it's okay if I wasn't vulnerable first, but since she said that, you know what? That red turned into a yellow because I moved one box and I started making one adjustment. And I just want to encourage you, just do one thing. And ask God, what's that one thing today? I'll say one more thing, and I'd love to invite feedback from you guys. But I was driving. It's so easy to drive now because no one's on the road. But I was driving, and I saw one of those places that are closed. You might know it. It's the arcade shop. It's called the Main Event. You know what I'm talking about? I drove it, and something just jumped on the inside of me. And I just said, Lord, hey, what's my main event today? What should my main event be? And the Lord just as clearly, like really simply said, hey, let's just get the patio in order. And I said, that's a great idea. And I just got some ideas. I'm going to move these two chairs. I'm going to get rid of that thing finally. Da, da, da. And I went and I moved some stuff around and did some things. And by the time I came to the front, my neighbor said, hey, I'm going to the dump. Do you want me to take that stuff? I said, I love it. Yeah. So I just loaded all my stuff in his truck and he hauled it out and it's done. My patio's finished. It's clean. And now the next day is the Lord, what's my main event today? Just take a simple step. Hey, if you're a business leader, some of you, because I've talked to a few leaders, I know some of you are feeling really condemned because you haven't given that inspirational talk to your people, the people that are struggling, because you don't know what to say, or you don't know if you're connecting with your team frequently enough, or what. Hey, you know what? Just take the next step. Be vulnerable. Cut yourself some slack. Offer yourself grace and say to them, hey, guys, am I connecting with you enough? Am I offering you enough clarity? Is there something we should be doing differently? Truthfully, I'm not sharing something because I don't know what to share. Maybe I should just share to let you know that I don't have something to share. But just take the next step. And I believe God will help us to develop discipline during this time. He'll help us with that sense of ownership during this time. And he'll help us with that which we can control so that we don't just sit there and you know, get paralyzed by all the things that we're concerned about that we can't control. Any thoughts from...
I love what you said. It just reminds me of there's a pastor that we had at Men's Summit before. His name is Levi Lusco, Fresh Life Church. He basically just said, "We just need to learn how to take those steps. Do one thing rather than try to overcommit yourself at the very beginning." So he has this analogy in one of his messages, but he basically says, "Instead of saying you want to do 10 push-ups, just do one push-up."
Yeah.
And he shows this analogy. He goes, just do one push-up right now. So he gets on his hands and he gets on his feet, you know, all that stuff. And he's about to do in a push-up formation. And he says, I'm going to do one push-up right now. So he does the push-up. And then he thinks to himself, and I think we have this thought to ourselves too, like, I'm already down here. Let me just do one more. Let me just do one more. Or even say, I'm not going to run around my block 20 times. I'm just going to run, walk towards the end of the street. And now that he walks at the end of the street, he goes, well, I'm already here. It's kind of like the Forrest Gump thing. Like, I'm already here, so I'm just going to keep on running. And I really think that it's very prevalent for us in our ministry too, because there are people who want and long for discipleship. Yeah. And they have this exhaustive list of all the things that they want to do. And they always present it to us like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read my Bible, 2 hours a day. I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to, memorize all these verses. And I'm thinking to myself, and all the other leaders are probably saying, that's great if you do it. But if you just do one of those things only, you're in the right track. You're heading in the right direction.
Yes.
So start small. Start there. For me, my practical things, like Tim said, because Tim has something as well that he wants to share. But for me, I have a habit of writing things in a list format. Mm. Okay, that's my first step. But when I write it in a list format, because I'm an achiever, if you're in this strengths, I'm an achiever. So I write lists. I write lists all the time. My wife, Christian, she makes fun of me because I'll even write nap optional, if I have time, I'll write nap, but here's the reason why I say it is because when I write those lists, I don't really put a priority on those things. I just write a list because I don't want to forget it. And what I have to do in my own practical way is take that list and now put it into my calendar. Because once I start putting my calendar, then I'll start putting a time and deadline to it. Like, I need to do it by this time. If I don't, I don't really set a priority. It's just kind of all there. Mm. So I have to practically take those baby steps like Bob, like Bill Murray and, what about Bob? I have to take those baby steps and allow myself to get to wherever I need to. And so it's just a more practical way of doing it, but a little thought for you. Tim, do you have anything that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I love where this is going because I just think it's so important to celebrate the steps and the system that gets us to a goal rather than just a goal. Because so many times we focus on the goal and then we either burn ourselves out because we're trying to do so much to get there and we just stop and we never get there.
Yes.
Or we get to the goal and then we go, okay, now I'm here, what? Right? And so, but when you focus on that step and the steps along the way and you celebrate those steps and that system that gets you there, it's just such a more rewarding process. And you're so much closer to actually finishing a goal if you have that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you a practical thing that you just reminded me of, and then we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. But I just finished my yard this past weekend, and I've been thinking about redoing my flower bed for 2 years now. Oh, my goodness. I'm embarrassed to even say that. For 2 years. I never put it on my list. I just had it in my head. I'm going to do this. And so finally, I was able to put it on the calendar and say, I'm going to do this. And so for me, and this might be more comical, and I might be the only one that does this, but for me, I started it. And I had to pull up all these shrubs. And I really didn't know if I could pull up these shrubs. I didn't know if I needed to tie it to a car and, and pull it and things like that. But I dug the first shrub, and I pulled it out. And I was successful in that first pulling. And for me, I was shocked. I was shocked that I could do it. So I don't know. I'm the only one that does it. But I celebrated. I actually took a break after that first shrub. I went inside the house and I told Christian, I just pulled that first shrub up. I'm going to grab a sandwich. And it took me 3 minutes to do it. But I felt like I needed to celebrate and take a moment in that moment. Do you guys do that at all, or is it just me? Like, do you clean your own room? And like, I just folded, made my bed. I'm gonna take a break because I feel like I just took an amazing step.
Yeah.
But no, that's great. Not walking on the moon, and I didn't take that ginormous step. I just did something real simple, and I celebrated in that moment. Jeremy, do you do that? Am I the only one that does it?
I mean, I do it with certain things. I don't know if I do it with the shrub I pull out of the ground or when I make my bed, but honestly, like on a serious note though, like it reminds me of that verse you find in 1 Timothy 4, it says, give yourself wholly to these things so that people can see your progress.
Mm.
It doesn't say give yourself wholly to these things that way people can see you ripped and the strongest person at the gym. It says, give yourself wholly to these things so people can see your progress.
Yeah.
And, progress, I think sometimes we can put too big of a thing on progress. When something goes from 1% to to 1.1%, that's progress. You know, and so the smallest step is progress. And so, like, you know, like we've been talking about, I just want to encourage y'all, like, don't put an expectation on the progress you're supposed to make either. Because you put an expectation on the finished product, but don't put an expectation on your progress either. Just take one step at a time and just stay faithful taking that one step.
That's really good, Jeremy.
So let me go ahead and wrap up this segment. What's special about this is that we're going to have two segments with Rishi. And so let me just summarize what we talked about, and then we're going to go ahead and just wrap up this session here. But his first point is okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be transparent. We need to be transparent. Number two, offer grace. I think sometimes we don't believe in grace, that we want grace, but sometimes we don't give out grace. And so we need to offer grace. Number three is take the next step. And that's something that I really love is be practical, be simple. Don't overcommit to yourself to doing all these exhaustive things. Be intentional, but take those steps, take those baby steps. So Rishi, I really do appreciate everything that you just shared with us. Those are great truths. Tim and Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing. Sorry that you just figured out that I celebrate after every single small victory like Shrub, but that's just me. But I really do appreciate you, Rishi, and thank you so much, guys, for joining us. We'll tune in another day, and we'll share some more truth with you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. And if you want to stay connected to everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a blessed day.